want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today on the subject of willingness to be made new. The willingness to be made new, made like Christ, in other words. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." I love that verse. There are many different descriptions in the New Testament as to why Christ died. This is one of them, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. One of the most noticeable differences between a Christian and a non-Christian should be that he is not living for himself, that the Christian lives for him who died for them. Verse 16, Paul says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." A new creation, that's what I want to be. That's what I want God to do in my own life. And in Galatians 6, verse 15, referring to Old Testament law, he says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything." Of course, it meant a great deal religiously in Old Testament times. The Jews were required to be circumcised. But now he says, what counts is a new creation. In other words, we're not to go by mere human laws. We are to be completely made new, a new act of creation, a new creature. Now, there is a clear distinction between what Paul is saying here and the sort of willingness to change which comes from a natural disposition. The disposition which is sort of like soft wax, very impressionable, open to all sorts of new ideas, etc. But to be willing to be shaped by Christ is a wholly different thing, has nothing to do with spineless malleability. It takes willingness to make the hard choices that Jesus demanded of his followers. Do you say, "But I gotta be me"? We've heard that one, haven't we? I gotta be me. Gotta be me. But have you ever really asked yourself, who is this, quote, me, unquote? God alone knows the real me, and he wants to shape that me into the image of Christ. It's easy in old age, and I should know because that's where I am, to settle down in my peculiarities. Were you raised on A.A. Milne as I was? The Pooh books, Winnie the Pooh, Kanga and Roo and Eeyore. Well, my mother used to read those wonderful little poems to us. And there was one that said, "King John was not a good man. He had his little ways." And who of us doesn't have our little ways, our eccentricities? I tease my husband about some of his eccentricities. For example, the way he washes his face. I think he must wash it about 8 times at a time. I mean, sloshing water on over and over and over again as if he's just plain filthy. And I always have to laugh at him about that. We have our little eccentricities, and believe me, I have plenty of mine, which he points out to me too, but I'm not going to tell you what those are. What we need is a supernatural readiness to change, which really should grow rather than decrease with age. The closer we get to heaven, the more we should want to be prepared for that place. I'm asking God to help me increasingly to concentrate on the essentials and thereby to simplify my life. I've been sorting through things, constantly trying to eliminate the superfluous. The hardest thing for me to sort through is books. I just like books because they're books. I love to handle books. I love to look at bookcases full of books. And it's very difficult for me to choose the ones that can go. Those are hard choices. Then there are those little family valuables and photos. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that you should get rid of all the family valuables and the photos. No, far from it. I feel quite responsible to be a steward, a faithful steward of the heritage that God has given to me. And so right now I'm doing albums for each of my grandchildren so that they will have some idea of the godly heritage that they've been given. And in order to do those albums, I have to go through hundreds of old family photographs and try to arrange them chronologically and put one from each ancestor or several from each year into the books that I'm doing for my grandchildren. But as we draw nearer to the gates of eternity, it's that one thing necessary that I want to concentrate on. The more we unload, the more spiritually intact and single-minded we'll be. It's a real snare to be attached to material things, isn't it? The Bible says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. I pray, Lord, make me easier, not harder to live with as I get old. Deliver me from being crotchety. Help me to live closer to you, Lord, so that I may be closer to my husband and to all those I love, but also closer to all those with whom I come into contact, not holding back, refusing my friendliness. Now, it is not up to me to determine the measure of my transformation. It's not up to me to determine the measure of my transformation. That would be to stunt my spiritual growth. Am I sot in my ways? Well, I'm afraid I am in a lot of ways. There are good habits which we don't need to change. There are also bad habits or even useless habits. But one who is ready to be changed and to change clings to the truth. We're liable to be labeled, of course. Oh, she's traditional, conservative, fundamentalist. Do we fear terms like that? Do we have the courage to accept peacefully labels of that nature? One who is ready to change is open to every new truth and ready to renounce what he has held before if that has been disproved. And we should always be eager to climb higher. You've heard me speak of Amy Carmichael many times. She was an Irish missionary to India who did an amazing piece of missionary work out there. And she wrote 40 books, one of which is a book of poetry. And she wrote a poem called The Last Defile, which was inspired by the epitaph for a mountaineer. He died climbing. This is what she wrote. Make us thy mountaineers. We would not linger on the lower slope. Fill us afresh with hope, O God of hope, that undefeated we may climb the hill as seeing him who is invisible. Let us die climbing. When this little while lies far behind us, and the last defile is all alight, and in that light we see our leader and our Lord, what will it be? I've made that a prayer of my life too. Lord, let me die climbing. Let me not linger on the lower slope. Those of you who have climbed mountains, as I have, we loved climbing the White Mountains of New Hampshire when we were children. We were always eager to climb higher, always very eager to get on the very tippy top of the mountain and gaze on the wonder of a changed perspective. We would always look way down into the valley to see if we could pick out the chimney of our house. What a different perspective it was from the top of the mountain. Someone has written, "Love divine has seen and counted every tear it caused to fall. And the storm which love appointed was its choicest gift of all." That gives us a totally new perspective on what God is doing in our lives, doesn't it? I'll read it to you again. Love divine, and that's referring to God, of course, love divine has seen and counted every tear it caused to fall. And the storm which love appointed was its choicest gift of all. That's not easy to grasp, is it? That the storms that God allows in our lives, He has not only allowed them, but His love actually appoints them, and they are gifts. Are you willing to be changed? Will you respond in trust and hope in the midst of your life's storm? God may be working today to give you the gift, which is exactly the place, the very storm, the very difficulty that God knows is needed in your life in order that you might be changed into His image. Love divine has seen and counted every tear it caused to fall, and the storm which love appointed was its choicest gift of all.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. We can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.